30 years ago today, in the wee hours of the morning, police discovered five intruders inside Democratic Party headquarters in the Watergate office building. The fallout from that break-in ultimately brought down the presidency of Richard Nixon. And Watergate, as it came to be known, probably still stands as the greatest political scandal in American history.
Those are the barest facts about Watergate, and it turns out those are probably more than most Americans know about it. An ABC News poll out today finds that two-thirds of Americans don't know enough about Watergate to tell the basic facts to someone else. Among 18 to 30-year-olds, that is, people born after the break-in, just 16% profess basic knowledge of the events.
And even for those who know about it, Watergate's importance is fading. Another new poll, this one from Fox News, finds that by more than a 2-to-1 margin, people think Nixon's opening of communications to China is a more important event in history than Watergate.
Daniel Shore knows more about Watergate than most. He was CBS's chief Watergate correspondent. He found himself a part of his own story when Senate hearings turned up a Nixon enemies list with his name on it. Now, three decades later, Dan is senior news analyst here at NPR, and he still thinks we could stand to learn a thing or two from the scandal.
From Watergate to Monica-gate, these 30 years have endowed the language with a suffix for national scandal. They've also provided perspective on the sources of paranoia that drove President Nixon over the constitutional edge. As a wartime president, he raged against anti-war demonstrators, and he saw opponents and critics as enemies warranting destruction. He believed that President Kennedy had plotted the assassination of Vietnam's Ngo Dinh Diem and Cuba's Fidel Castro, and that President Johnson had had the FBI bug Nixon's campaign plane in 1968, and that he was therefore entitled to spy on others. From the extensive record of the generation since Watergate, we know that Nixon, before being undone by his own incriminating tapes, planned to parlay his 1972 landslide reelection into something like an internal takeover of the government. He would have his personal commissars directing departments and agencies, and the national intelligence apparatus would be combined into a repressive force targeted at his enemies. Even 3 years after being driven from office, Nixon propounded to interviewer David Frost the idea that when the president does it, that means it is not illegal. That is the imperial presidency theory, a version of the king can do no wrong. It has had other adherents. President Reagan, as I recall, defended his illegal support of the Nicaraguan Contras and the attempt to trade missiles for hostages with Iran by citing President Lincoln, who he said had blockaded southern ports and emancipated the slaves without constitutional authority. Reagan was quick, however, to acknowledge error and to call for his own Iran-Contra investigation. Nixon resorted to cover-up. It is not uncommon for a president to use his powers in an effort to protect himself. Nixon was unique in his effort to mobilize his vast powers to harm others. That he did not succeed is what people mean when they say, the system worked. This is Daniel Shore.